Good morning. This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and we're glad that you've tuned us in. We trust that the program will bless and encourage you. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, the best way to do that is to go to my website, bdcministries.com. There you will find a postal address, and there you will also find an email address, and you can contact me through either. Remember, we'll take prayer requests or comments on the program, and we also will have a weekly meditation on that website that you might find helpful. And if you would like to re-listen to this program, that will be on that website as well. Again, my website is bdcministries.com. Now, today we're going to be transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament with regard to our journey through the Bible. I realize that before we make our comments on that journey, we should recognize that today is Father's Day. And Father's Day is just as important in my mind as Mother's Day, because I am a father and I am a grandfather. And I believe that fathers are very important in the fabric of our society. And I believe fathers should be concerned about their relationship with their children, and the children should be concerned about their relationship with the father. And whenever I think of Father's Day, I think of how the Lord, when he started his prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Our Father which art in heaven." And so the one Father we need to really be concerned about today is that Father, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Wouldn't it be nice if the Father's will was what was being done on earth as it is in heaven? Now, in that prayer, I believe Father is used in a much broader sense than it is when we look at the family of God, because we know that before we are saved, we are children of disobedience, according to Ephesians chapter 2, children of disobedience. And we don't really become children of God by our first birth. We become children of God by our second birth. And our second birth comes about through receiving Christ as our Savior. John chapter 1, which we often quote, says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power, the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name," believe in his authority, believe in his character, believe in his reputation, those who believe on his name. And when we believe on his name, we're believing that what he told us was the truth. Today there's a real problem knowing what or whom to believe. But I want to assure you that you can believe the Bible, and you can believe our Father, which is in heaven. And so, fathers, today, first of all, I want to encourage you. I want to make sure you persevere in raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want you to realize that you will affect their attitude toward the father figure that is in heaven, and they will judge who God is likely by who you are. And so you have a great responsibility. But I want to encourage you today, when I read this, when I think of this matter of being a father, don't misunderstand me. We raise children without really a good manual, although the Bible has a lot of good principles in it for raising children, but we tend to raise children without a manual. And I look back over my life, and there's a lot of things I would like to have done differently for my children. But I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful that God allowed me to be a father, and I hope that I have modeled for them the Father which is in heaven. And for everyone who has children, their greatest desire should be that the children that they bring in this world become spiritual children through the new birth, that they do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that they might be saved. Now, today we have finished up in our journey through the Bible. We finished up the Old Testament. We ended up with Malachi. The final verse in Malachi is, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." That was not a very positive way to end the book. The Jews don't even want to read that as the final verse in their Hebrew Bible. They reverse a few verses so that they don't have to have that as their final verse. But I like Revelation, the end of Revelation, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." And so we have something to look forward to, and the New Testament gives us grace. And I want to, as we make this transition, and I'm trying to give you an understanding of how to read the Bible, because the Bible was intended to be read by the average common man. And with a little help from background and commentaries on culture and dictionaries, we should be able to understand it. Frankly, I think just by reading a good version like the King James Version or the New King James Version and comparing it to a more modern version like the NLT, you'll get the basic sense of the Bible, and you'll find out that you yourself can understand the truth of the Bible. But there are some principles that we need to remember as we make this transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, because now we're going to be looking at four Gospels, and they're going to be four biographies of the Lord. And I just want to remind you of some things that I think are important as you interpret the Bible. The first of these is that we have an Old Testament and a New Testament, and that's seen quite clearly in Hebrews 9 and verse 16, if you want to look up that verse. The Old Testament deals with an earthly land, an earthly people, and earthly promises, and the New Testament deals with a spiritual land, that is heaven, a spiritual people that are Christians, and spiritual promises. And so when we look at the Bible in that way, we begin to understand the basic way in which the Bible is written. The Old Testament was written with regard to those of us in this day. It was written for us, but the New Testament is written to us. Now, the basic principles of Bible interpretation that I use are: look for principles in the Gospels, examples in the Acts, teaching in the epistles, as well as illustrations from the Old Testament. And I think that's very important, because the Bible talks about rightly dividing or understanding or interpreting the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we are not an Old Testament people, and we are not establishing presently today a kingdom on this earth. In spite of what people would like to believe, the United States is not the kingdom of God. We say it's a Christian nation, but it was founded on Christian principles, but it was never a nation of believers. And so we have to remember that while the moral principles of the Old Testament are important to us today, we are not a people who are trying to establish a kingdom, a physical kingdom on this earth. What we're trying to do is recognize that we who were saved are living in a spiritual kingdom. And so in order for us to understand the Bible, we have to look for what the Lord taught on particular issues, principles in the Gospels. And then we have to see how those principles were historically carried out in the Acts of the Apostles, because the Acts of the Apostles become a historical book, not really a doctrinal book, but a historical book. But the backbone of all Bible interpretation are the epistles that were written by the apostles, and by the apostles as well as by the Lord's brother, we would recognize that we have mostly the Gospels, or mostly the epistles are written by Peter and James, but we do have some written by James, who was the Lord's brother. And so we have to be careful that we use what those men knew about the Old Testament and how they applied it in the New Testament in order for us to understand our Bible. Now, sometimes we say the New Testament is in the Old contained. The Old Testament is by the New explained. Let me say that again. The New is in the Old contained. The Old is by the New explained. Let the New explain the Old and not the other way around. We are not Jews. We are Christians. And let all interpretation be consistent with John 3:16. I've often said it's the topic sentence of the Bible. I probably could be corrected on that. It may be that the topic sentence of the Bible really is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself." John 3:16 shows us how God modeled that principle. He loved people who didn't love him. And when we come to this issue of who is our neighbor, looking at Christians today is probably the person that we least identify with. But nevertheless, we want to make sure that we let all interpretations be consistent with one of those two verses or both of those two verses. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Or, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might, and thy neighbors thyself." And until we get the love of God right, we won't get the love for our neighbor right. Now, as we look at Bible interpretation, always use context to interpret a passage. We need to have the context of the chapter. We need to have the context of the book. And we need to have the context of the Bible. So context, context, context is extremely important as we begin to study the Bible. We often say that there are three principles for selling real estate, and those principles are location, location, location. Well, it's somewhat like that when it comes to studying the Bible. Context, context, context. I hear so many people taking Old Testament passages out of context and applying them to their situation today and taking comfort from them in some cases that was not meant for them. And don't misunderstand me. I know that God himself has used passages, had the Lord use passages in a way that seemed out of context to me. So I'm sure that there are times when the Lord does allow us to take comfort from passages out of context. But really, we need to take our comfort from passages in their context. And we get the guidance for that, particularly today through the epistles. So, again, we're going to go into the book of Matthew next time, and I just trust that you'll follow along with me, that you might be a student, a good student of the Bible, and that you might get your own convictions, and that you yourself might be sure that you are one who has a Father which is in heaven. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program, and we pray that you'll bless it and those who have listened. In our Savior's name, amen.